Jezebel spirit is a witchcraft spirit, is a control spirit. She controlled Ahab. This again is the danger why Paul warned Christian women not to usurp authority. That's the spirit behind this. It means to take by force, to take by manipulation. I've seen over the many years when I used to counsel, many times Christian women rule their husbands. They just do it in a subtle way. And this is the spirit of witchcraft behind this. You know, they let their husbands believe they're the leader. You know, but see, God don't honor this. And he don't honor the man that cowtails to his wife either. Because God requires the man to be the leader of the home and not the woman. And it don't matter if she's 10 times more spiritual than him. It's a matter of order. God does not permit it. You know, so you have to be careful. The same as usurping a pastor's authority. If he's a true pastor, doesn't matter what I know about him or how deep he is. It's not my place to override him publicly. The only place that could happen is under a prophetic word. You usually get thrown out for doing it. But it means to take by force that which is not yours. So the Jezebel spirit is a control spirit. A witchcraft is a manipulating spirit. It mesmerizes. It tries to bring under its control. People try that on the Lord, you know, by quoting scripture and demanding the Lord to keep his word when they're not walking according to the word, you know. No, he don't move by these things. So see, the woman has the ability, like Proverbs says, to build her husband's house up or destroy him. So women have the great ability of influence. And spiritual women are supposed to influence their husbands to good, not evil. And when they do, it's the spirit of Jezebel. And God will judge according to how he judged Jezebel. Calls it evil. Calls it an evil spirit. Why? It's a spirit of rebellion. It's a spirit that says, I want what I want, and I'll find whatever way it takes to get it. And with the Jezebel spirit, she uses her seduction, her sexual eyes. We're going to see this. She's going to use whatever it takes, you know. And again, this has happened with many women. You know, that's how they rule the home. You know, they withhold sex and favors until their husband conforms to what they want. If you're doing this, you have a Jezebel spirit. You better get right with God, because God does not consider it holy, and he considers it evil spirit. See, because you're trying to get away from submitting as the Lord requires. You're trying to get away from doing what God hasn't given you. See, he's put us in our positions. And spirituality has nothing to do with it. God does not permit ever the Christian woman to lead or rule her husband. It's an evil spirit that's doing this. And again, it don't matter how spiritual she is. She's not the leader. God has never said she could lead her husband. See? So we have to understand God's order and be careful. And you men, you have to be careful not to allow your wives to do that to you. You know? So you can see where you better be praying together, like Paul said, lest your prayers be hindered. Now, we're not talking about, you know, again, we're talking about Christian relationships and the proper order. But that's the spirit behind it. Witchcraft is a manipulating spirit, a control spirit. Uses whatever it takes to get what it wants. Okay, 2 Kings 9, are we there? Okay, go to verse 30. What I want you to understand is Jehu is anointed by God as king, and his first command as king is what? Is wipe out the house of Ahab and go take care of Jezebel. I'm bringing punishment on her. She'd lived for many years after Ahab died. Okay? But notice Jezebel. Notice the spirit here. Verse 30. And when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head. What was she going to try to do? Seduce him. And yet at the same time, she mocks him. You know? But she's trying. You know? And notice what she did. She adorns her head, and she looked through the window. And then as Jehu entered the gate, she said, is it peace? Are you coming, Jehu, with peace? Zimri, murderer of your master. At the same time, she says, you've murdered your master. But see, she's ready to become his queen if he wants her. You know, she's trying to use. And Jehu at this time, notice how clever he is. He doesn't consort with her. He doesn't even look at her. He gives her no answer. And that's what we're to do to false teachings. You don't even mess with them. He knew not to look at her and mess with her. Evidently, she was gifted with demons, and she knew how to seduce. She kept Ahab under control for a long time, didn't she? And notice what he does. Instead of answering her, it says, and he looked up at the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And two of the eunuchs looked out at him. They were her servants. And then he said, throw her down. Notice he ain't even addressing her. And what did they do? And the scripture says, and they threw her down. And some of her blood splattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. You see, that's how you respond to the demonic seduction. You put it under. You don't mess with it. You don't play with it. You don't entertain it, because she'll get you. She's clever. Remember, you see the same when Solomon talks about the foolish man who goes out and is seduced by the woman. And she comes up to him and flirts with him, and she catches him with her eyes. And she says, my husband's gone on a long journey because he took a lot of money. Now come with me. Come on home with me, and we'll have a good time. And it says, and Solomon says, and he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Well, see, her husband evidently knew a little bit about her. And it says, until he finds an arrow in his liver. It means the husband's watching all of this. And while they're in bed, he comes in and kills him. What? But she captivated him. She lied to him. She beguiled him. See, she was after one thing. But the husband wasn't that stupid. He evidently knew her. But it cost this young man his life. So a seduction will cost you your life. Witchcraft will cost you your life. That was the final end for Saul when he went to the witch. You know? And God cut him off. Went to God's enemy. That's what it means. So again, that's the answer for the Jezebel spirit. You don't listen to it. You don't talk to it. You don't compromise with it. You don't go to bed with it. You don't entertain it. You trample it under your feet. You say it isn't worth giving an ear to. Okay? Give you the spiritual side of that. Go to 2 Corinthians. That's after 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Look at verses 4 through 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not earthly, is what it means. But mighty in God. We have spiritual weapons for the pulling down of strongholds. When we know the word, we use the word to destroy what is false and expose what's false and have nothing to do with it. Look at verse 3. Casting down arguments. We're to do what Jehu did. Throw her down. Don't entertain her. Don't be captivated. Do you know why the children of Israel were so often led astray to other gods? Because the other gods worshiped demons, and most of their religious service was centered around sex and orgies and male prostitutes and female prostitutes. So it was a fun religion. It was a party time religion. You can see how it worked. Till they were cut off. It was impure. It was detestable before God. And God told Moses, this is why I wipe nations out before you because of the way they lived. He said, this is why I blotted Sodom out because of the things they did. So see, that's what happens when you are captivated. See, the children of Israel were warned, and we'll get to that. They were warned not to take wives from the foreign, lest they turn your heart away from Jehovah. And they did. And then God had to judge them and wipe them out and go with the next generation. So he's warning them. So what do we do spiritually? Casting down arguments, smooth talkers. When they start saying, well, we need to lay aside doctrine and just love one another. Then go after them. So that ain't the whole counsel of God. You can't lay aside truth. Then your love and your grace is false. It's not Christian love anymore. See, we need to know how to use the word and how to correct the false teachers. Casting down arguments and every high thing. Who was high up? Jezebel. She ruled in Israel. Even after Ahab's dead, she influenced her evil son, and he was taken care of too. All of his family was wiped out as God's judgment for what he'd done. See, that was the danger of what happened. And what does he say? Cast down every argument, cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So that is what? The Word of God. Anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, throw it out. I don't care how smooth they are. I don't care how many souls they won. I don't care if they got 3,000 people coming to the church. Remember Sardis. They did that too. And they had a name, they were alive, and Jesus said, but they're dead. And their followers are going to go to the same place. So don't be impressed with numbers. Be impressed with God's Word, especially in a dark time that we're entering. Bringing every thought into captivity. Under captivity of who? Of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. It means everything must be subjected to Him as Lord, to His Word. And if it cannot be subjected to the Word of God, cast it down. So I don't need to be messing with this. And when you hear teachings that are adding to and taking from God's Word, throw it out, because it's a Jezebel spirit working on you, trying to get you to compromise truth, because he knows where the end's going to be, the spirit. Okay? So we have to be spiritually discerning. And if we walk in the Spirit, we will know the Word, and we'll know how to use the Word, and we will spot false teaching if you know the Word. But if you run from meeting to meeting and you're never grounded in God's Word, you're going to be led astray, like many people, by every wind of teaching that comes along. They're going to jump on the bandwagon because they don't know Scripture, and they can't discern between what's of God and what's not, because it sounds good, because it's smooth. Well, we get so many people, God must be blessing us. Well, if that's true, the Muslim religion must be the true religion, because they're getting more converts in the world than any other religion. So if you're going to take that logic, take it all the way. You know. Well, it must be God because they got so many. Well, hell is full of people. Are they right? Most of the people are on the Broadway. Jesus said they're not on the narrow way. So if you're going to look at the voting system and the majority, then you can tell where you're going. Because he already said, oh, few there be that find it. And we're living in the latter days, and it's getting dark, and Christians have to be in tune and discerning, and they have to know God's Word, and they better be walking in the Spirit. Revelation, go back over there, chapter 3. I'm sure we've dealt with this, but I want you to see this again as I remind myself, Laodicea. But notice what he says in verse 17. Because you say, he's talking to the church again, his leaders, I am rich. They're saying that today, like Sardis. We have a name. We're being prospered. We're blessing. Oh, we have to expand our church and build and build and build. We'll find out what they're giving the people. Like I say, if you swallow goldfish and you offer steak dinners, you'll get numbers. And if you really want a good Jezebel spirit, hire a stripper. And I guarantee you, you'll fill the place up. Okay? One church in Atlanta has been getting close to that. Okay. You say, because I am rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing. What were they saying? I'm okay. I'm spiritually okay. Oh, look, our church is being blessed. The numbers are coming in. That ain't no sign of blessing. It's never been a sign of blessing. Truth is the sign. The Word of God is the sign that will endure. Everything else is going to fade. And notice what he says. And you do not know. What is he saying? You're saying I'm okay. I'm rich. You're saying we have need of nothing. And he is saying what? You don't know. What has happened to them? They are deceived. They are believing a lie. And he's going to go a step further and tell you they're blinded. Their eyes have been put out. Okay, notice what he says here. You do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What is he saying? You think you're okay. You don't have the spiritual discernment to know that you've got it in you. You're carnal and lukewarm and backslidden. And then he told him what he was going to spew him out of his system. You know what that word means? It means they make him sick to his stomach and he's going to vomit them out. That's what the word means. Real pleasant word, isn't it? I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. He's saying, what's going to try it? My Holy Spirit and the Word's going to try it. Give yourself to God is what he's telling them. And white garment that you might be rich. They don't have the garment anymore. They don't have the righteousness. That you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. See, they don't even know they're naked. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. What is he saying? You got cataracts, and you can't see spiritually things anymore. And you think you're okay. Now, see, the burning word will burn the cataract out. The word of God will slice it off if you allow it to do it. See, that's the cure for hardening, unless the person's gone too far. And he implied with them that he was still offering them hope. He didn't say that they were going to be blotted out yet. But notice what he says. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous to repent. Or be zealous and repent. The word rebuke means I come against. And chasten, it means disciplinarian correction. He's saying, listen to it. You know, if you want your eyes straightened out and you're blind, but see, the danger is if you refuse it, then he says, then death will come. Like he told the church that didn't listen to him, he says, I'll kill her children if you don't listen to me. I'll kill her followers with death if they don't heed these warnings. What did he say? By eye salve. The Holy Spirit will heal their eyes. He'll take the hardness away, but they have to allow him to do it. They have to allow the word and God's searching to do this for them. Okay? Where is this? It's interesting. Like I say, these principles have gone on from the beginning to the end. Go to Joshua. That's way back, about the fifth or sixth book. Chapter 23. When you get there, raise your hand, and when half of you are there, we'll wait, and we'll go on. Everybody there? Joshua, chapter 23. Okay, and if you're not there, then listen, and you can find it later. Look at verse 11 through 13. Therefore, take diligent heed. What is he saying? Be warned. Be admonished is how the apostles would use this word. Listen to what I'm saying. There's a serious consequence. That's what warning means. There is a danger to be avoided. Take heed to yourself. Diligently. Do it seriously to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you go back. See, they had gone back, Laodicea, and they didn't even know it. And cling to the remnant of those nations, the world. If you go back to the worldly way of things. These things remain among you if you don't deal with them. And make marriages with them. And go to them and they to you. He's saying what? You have mingled with the world. You have become carnal and lukewarm and worldly. He's threatening what's going to happen. And it still applies. That's why the apostles are warning us. And notice what he says to them. Know for certain. He's saying this is a sure thing. That if you do this, the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations or the enemies before you, the demonic influence. And what do? They blind. They harden. He's saying, I won't do it. You know, when you refuse truth, remember we keep saying in these lessons, then God will send the lying spirit, the delusion. If you refuse the Holy Spirit's dealings, then that's what's going to come, is the deluding spirit. Doctrines of devils, that he said, that they would fall away from, giving heed to seducing spirits or Jezebel's spirit and to doctrines of devils. They will apostatize because they're not listening or taking the warnings when the Lord gives it to them. Know for certain, he says, what? I will not drive your enemies out. But they, who? Your enemies shall be snares and traps to you and scourges, whips on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from the land. What did he say would happen to them because they would not take heed? You're going to be blinded. Your eyes are going to be put out. What are they going to be put out by? Sin and the Jezebel spirit, and because you refuse to hear correction. You refuse conviction. You say, oh, that's condemnation. I don't want to hear it. It's condemnation when it's false. If you're in sin, it's true, because the law is always true. If you read the context of Scripture like we did in Romans, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Read the whole chapter. It means those who are walking in the Spirit. It doesn't mean those who are walking in the flesh. It says the carnal-minded is death. And it says if you walk that way, then Christ isn't in you. So he makes it plain. Don't let people take that out of context. Devil loves that one. You know, that only applies to those walking in the Spirit, that there's no condemnation. It does not apply to the lukewarm, the carnal, the worldly, or the backslidden. There's no scripture you can find. They're only promised judgment and death if they do not repent. So don't let people lie to you like they're lying to so many people. Well, there's no condemnation. Let me tell you something. If you're in bed with your neighbor, there is condemnation, but you're like Laodicea. You can't see it. Your eyes have already been put out. Your conscience has already been hardened. And I've dealt with people like that. going to sit and argue with me and tell me they're Christians while they're living in adultery. I said, you lost it or you never had it. But if you drop dead now, you're going straight to hell. They're getting mad at me. Oh, you understand? They won't come back and debate Scripture with me. I don't mess with them. Let them believe what they want to believe. See, God's already given them over to a lying spirit. They don't want to be corrected. They want to be confirmed in a lie, so they go to their false shepherds who tell them, you're saved no matter what you do, because it's all grace. Lying spirits. Jezebel spirits. And their end's going to be death. Because they've been lied to. Okay, so he's saying what? If you don't take heed to what I'm telling you, if you refuse to be chastened, if you refuse the word of exhortation, if you refuse to endure sound teaching, if you despise prophesying, and again we said, why do people do this? Because it corrects, it's sharp, it's unpleasant to the old man. But he said, if you refuse this, then your eyes will be put out. Okay? It won't bother you. What did Paul call it? Searing your conscience with a hot iron. You keep turning it away and turning it away. You don't want the sword. You want the spoon. You know. But the sword leaves, and he allows the lying spirit to come. And he sends him at times, like he did to Ahab. So this is why he said, what? Buy of me, and that your eyes can be anointed. And he rebukes and chastens. Do not refuse correction. Let me give you three quick scriptures in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Chapter 3. Three times he says this. Listen to it. It's for us. Look at verse 7 and 8. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, that's who's speaking, that's prophecy, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. What is he telling you? The Holy Spirit saying, if you hear my voice, and what does the word come? It is a hammer and a fire. It's a sharp sword. That's his word, and it's coming to tell the truth. And he says, what? Don't harden yourself. Don't harden yourself. Let it do its job. Okay? Holy Spirit speaking. Go to chapter verse 15. Repeats it. What it says is what? Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He repeats it. How many times do you find in the epistles things are repeated? Exactly. One more time. Go to 4:7. Again, he designates God. A certain day saying in David, today, after such a long time it has been, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Isn't it interesting how quickly he repeats it? Why? Because your eyes will be put out, and you will be deceived. And if you despise the Spirit and lie against the Holy Spirit, there's a dangerous consequence. There's where deception comes. Then you will give heed. If you don't give heed to sound doctrine, you're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's guaranteed. No ifs, ands, or buts. I can promise you that. There are no spiritual vacuums. You either fight God and be against him, or you submit to him and be with him. There are no in-betweens. People are lying to you to tell you that. In closing, we might close. Ephesians 1. No, we won't. I forgot some scriptures. Luke. How much time do I have? Oh, we may finish. Okay, Luke. Chapter 24. Okay, if we give heed to God's word by not despising prophesying, it means when the word corrects us and tells us something that's true, but we don't want to hear it, we say, good, the old man needs to be put in his place. We don't fight God and ignore him. When we endure sound teaching, and sound teaching corrects and reproves us when we need it. You know, if you're of the opinion, well, I only want pleasant things and positive things, well, you're already on your way to hell. I don't have much to say to you. You're wasting your time here, and you're wasting God's time. Go eat, drink, and be merry, because I can't help you. Luke 24. Sorry. When I found out I had more time, I decided to go another route. Okay. If we don't despise prophesying, which is the word of God being spoken, and it's corrective. If we endure sound doctrine and teaching, again, it's corrective. If the Ephesians says you endure the word of exhortation, that means to be admonished and warned. See, the wise man loves correction because he knows it'll do the new man good. It's only the carnal, the lukewarm, and the worldly that despise the word of God. So if you despise correction, you've already judged yourself. You better fall down before God and say, I'm wicked and I need to get right with you, God, because I don't like your word when it corrects me. You are revealing that maybe you're a bastard and you're not in the kingdom. Because your new man does have desires that want to follow God, even though you're still dealing with the old man. But when you try to squelch the new man and the Holy Spirit's dealings, you better examine yourself like Peter said and see whether you're in the faith anymore or ever were. Chapter 24. If we don't do this, if we take heed, okay, we used the last four lessons or so. To him that is given, more shall be given. If we take the heed and we let the word do its work, then he will what? He will bless us and give us more light. But if we don't, even what we have will be taken from us. Your conscience will be seared and darkened and hardened, and you won't be able to see the Spirit working. You'll end up like Laodicea, blind and deceived, and don't even know it. And God in his grace came back and gave him one more chance. He didn't offer that to Sardis. Isn't this interesting? He just told those in Sardis, he said, I have a few that have not defiled their garments, and I'll not blot their name out. Almost implying that most of Sardis were blotted out. But he's given them one more chance. He's coming back to Laodicea saying what? You think I'm in you. I left you and you didn't know it. But I'm coming back one more time to reprove you. And if you listen, I'll come to you. He said, well, I still love you. I've not totally forsaken you yet. So he's warning them. But he's correcting them. And it's sharp. It's sharp to be told you're a hypocrite. It's sharp to be told you're carnal and worldly when you don't want to hear it. You know, well, you can fool people for a while. The Pharisees did. They appeared white outwardly, and God says, but they're dead inside. Same as Sardis. They appeared to be good Christians, but he said they're dead. So you can fool people for a while. You'll never fool a discerning person that knows the Word of God, unless he's living in sin. Okay, Luke 24. This is the privilege of what happened. Remember, the Pharisees were hardened by the parable because God had ordained it. He said, stop their ears. Blind their eyes so they won't see. Because they had refused the law and perverted it and wouldn't listen to the prophets. And Jesus didn't want them knowing anything. But the common people who came and were willing to be slain by the word, he gave them light. And they saw. And their eyes were open. And notice we'll see a hint of this. 24:16. When the two were walking with Jesus, remember after the resurrection, and they didn't even know who he was. Why? But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Now, this is people who knew Jesus, and after the resurrection, God restrained them for a reason. He wanted to listen to them and talk to them. But see, there's a spiritual thing here. God restrains people so they can't see at times. And these were his disciples who are doubting and questioning now his resurrection. And later on, we're going to see he uses a sharp word. He calls them foolish. But he's walking with them, okay? And then go to verse 25 after the conversation. And then he says to them, O foolish ones! This is some of the disciples that are hearing what happened, and they don't know what's happened, and they're ready to throw their Christianity out because things didn't work out the way they thought it would. And he said to them, O foolish ones! And these were disciples. Slow of heart to believe. Dull of heart is what Hebrews called them. Dull. Hard of hearing. Something's happening. They're getting wax in their ear. Slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. And he asked them a question. Art not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And notice what he does. He doesn't do this to the Pharisees. And beginning at Moses, who they honored the most, Abraham and Moses, and all the prophets, he started using the prophets. He used the Old Testament. There was no new. He expounded to them in all the scriptures. What did he use to open their eyes? Truth. He used the Old Testament. It's still valid. When people say, well, we're under the new. You don't know the new until you understand the old. He hasn't changed. God did not change. He gave more revelation. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. So what did he do? He started to open their minds, the things that they really didn't sort of get when they were with him. Didn't Jesus say that? And when the Spirit comes, he will show you things that I can't tell you now. And he proceeds on. Go down to verse 25. Are we there? 31. Then their eyes were opened and they, what? Knew him. Isn't it interesting? They are thinking it's over. Jesus has come along and he starts talking to them and they don't recognize him because he hid himself. And he starts giving them scripture. He don't say, voila, I'm Jesus. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. He didn't want to convince them. No, he wanted to use what? The word. He said, go back and look at the... He told the Jews who wouldn't listen to him, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they had perverted the law and prophets and couldn't see him when he came. And he said, search them. They couldn't. God had blinded them so they couldn't see. And hardened them so they wouldn't see. He says that was the reason he taught in parables. And people don't like that. That's God. Their eyes were open and they knew him. All of a sudden something went on. A light went on. And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. But notice what it says down here in verse 32. I like this. And they said one to another, did not our hearts, our spirits burn within us while he talked with us? Why? Because his word is alive and powerful. And his word is as a fire. And they were getting inspiration and enlightenment. And they were probably thinking, wow, this guy is a prophet. And they still didn't know it was the Lord. This guy is opening our eyes. They still didn't know who he was. Because the word was acting as what? A fire. He was giving them illumination. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a mental thing. He was giving them enlightenment. This is a spiritual thing. It's not a mental thing. And notice what he says here. And while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scripture to us, you will not get the scriptures open to you. I don't care if you can quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelations better than anybody in the world. You will not properly understand it spiritually if you ain't right with God, because the Holy Spirit will not open spiritual truth. You'll have mental offense. And you'll find a lot of ministers will quote scripture, and yet you'll sit and listen to them. You wonder where they know God. I do. I don't know if you do, but I've had to deal with them. No, it's a spiritual thing. And the natural man perceives not the things of God. And it don't matter if the natural man can quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. It still don't make him spiritual. What makes you spiritual is when the Holy Spirit makes the word alive and you obey it. And stop listening to it and doing it. See? The ones building on the sand, they heard the word. They just didn't do it. They didn't submit to it. Okay? Go one more. 44 and 45. This is the privilege when we listen to the light and we don't harden ourselves when the Lord's dealing with us. 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake to you while I was still with you, that all the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding. What did he do? He opened their understanding. Didn't say he gave them mental knowledge. He didn't quote just information to them. No, they had information. This was a spiritual thing. And this is what it means to be in the spirit realm. And this is what it means when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes. What is your eyes? Your conscience. Your spirit is enlightened. This is the only way you know you're saved. When the Spirit bears witness. Not because someone said, say this little prayer. Repeat this, say that. 4 and 5 steps to salvation. That don't do nothing. It's when the Spirit bears witness with your spirit. Don't you let people tell you a Christian if you don't believe you are. I don't convince people they are. I know most ministers do. Well, we don't want to scare anybody. Scare them! They don't know they're Christians. Don't you tell them a lie and confirm them in a lie. Say, well, pray until you get the witness. He says, his spirit bears witness with their spirit that they're a child of God. Not that they were talked into the sinner's prayer and didn't half the time know what they were saying. And weren't given the whole truth in the first place. Given 4 scriptures and told that's all it is. No. Like I tell you, don't be in a rush to lead people to the Lord. And if they only got 5 minutes, say, well, you judge yourself unworthy. Hell's waiting for you. No, if they ain't got hours to spend and count the cost and understand what it involves, leave them alone. Jesus and Paul didn't mess with them. If your soul ain't worth a few hours before God, then your soul ain't worth nothing. It ain't worth nothing to God. See, don't be in a hurry to run and gather people and make them say this prayer so you can confirm them in a lie when the Holy Spirit's not even acting on them. They can move when the Spirit's convicting. See, a lot of people are just giving people information. Say this prayer. All the popular thing today is, do you want to receive Jesus, the gift of salvation? Here, take it. Nothing's ever mentioned of sin and judgment. and conviction of sin. Why? Because it's a false gospel being given to people. Oh, he just offers a gift. That ain't what Scripture said. Go back and read Acts when the gospel was given. Sin and wrath and judgment were always mentioned. Why? Because God don't give people peace, the King of Peace, until his enemies are made his friends. And he tells them what they have to do. Repent. And acknowledge that they're sinners. See, nowadays, well, we don't want to do that. We want to be a little secret sensitive. Let's trick them into the kingdom. Let's get them to lift their hand while everybody closes their eyes. And I say, no, everybody open your eyes. Look, look. He's a fanatic. He's a madman now. Because he's declared he's going to serve Jesus. See, we don't want to embarrass him. God don't care. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. If you deny me before men, I'll get them from the beginning, and a lot of them won't fall away later. But you give them a half gospel and a quarter gospel, and somewhere along the road, they're going to fall away. But if you told them the beginning, they'd never believe the false anyway. They said, well, that's too much. I don't want that. Tell them it's hard. Tell them to serve God is the hardest thing in the world. And then they say, oh, my God. I say, but he gives grace. And you can't do it in yourself. That you got to rely on the Spirit. Then they go, oh, yeah, you're going to have to hate your mother, your wife, your father, your children, everything to serve the Lord. And people in the natural strength says, boy, I can't do that. And you say, oh, voila, you're on your way to the kingdom. Then you're not only going to come to God by faith, you're going to stay with him by faith. You're going to continue in faith. You ain't going to say one little prayer and say, adioso, I've got my salvation and my fire insurance. Doctrines of devils. No, they were taught to continue in the faith. They were taught to continue in grace. They were taught to continue in the fear of the Lord. And this is when they came to the Lord. This wasn't meat. This was the milk before the milk. You know? You see, they're lying to people. They can't even get them on the milk right. And what does he say? He opened their understanding. He gave them enlightenment, illumination, that they might comprehend Scripture. He does not want the backslider and the carnal and the false Christian and the professor Christian to understand spiritual things until they deal with their sin. He don't want you casting pearls before swine. Pigs like flops. They don't like the things of the kingdom. The natural man perceives not the things of God. The carnal man is at enmity with God. The worldly man is God's enemy and loves the world. He's an adulteress and an adulterer. As James calls them. They didn't mince no words, did they? You know, they told him the truth. And we need to get back. And then we'll have fewer converts today. But they'll stay with God. You know, most of them, if they enter the kingdom knowing what it's involved, most of them will start counting the cost and say, well, my Lord, then I got to begin this thing by grace, and I must continue with grace, and I will finish with grace. And it won't be a mental and a passive grace of faith. It'll be something the Spirit working in them. Okay, two more scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1. If we're spiritual, if we walk in the Spirit and do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, if we are obeying the Spirit and seeking to obey the Lord and love the Lord. And that's what it means to love the Lord, is to keep his word. And it doesn't say very little about an emotional feeling and a sentimentality that's preaching today. Everybody goes to church and they sing and shed crocodile tears and sing about how wonderful Jesus is, and they're wicked before the Lord. They're doing just what Ezekiel said. They come and they honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. And he ain't interested in their pretty voices. Their vocal cords are going to rot and the worms are going to eat them one day. It's what's spiritual that'll go on forever. He ain't interested in their prettiness and their cleverness. All that don't mean God. The sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. He don't want their money. He don't want their time. He really don't even want them in his church unless they can get right. See? And they're coming there saying, oh, we love God. We love God. Yeah, and they're living in sin. They're liars. And the truth's not in them. John said that. I didn't. Ephesians 1, 16. This is what Paul was praying for us. This is what we should be praying for one another. 16, he said, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What did he pray for people? That you will prosper and be wealthy and healthy and you'll get everything you want? You'll never find one prayer that Paul prayed that way. Notice what Paul prayed. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of heaven of glory, may give to you. And who is he talking to? Christians. That he will give to you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of him. See, he's talking about something deep. The eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your heart, The eyes of your conscience. See, that's what's going to be enlightenment. Your eye spiritually is your conscience. The eyes of your conscience being what? Enlightened. What is he going to do? He's going to give you more light if you don't harden yourself. You're going to be enlightened to the deeper things of God. Okay? This is what he's talking about. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Well, we know what he's leading us to. That Christ in you will be the hope of glory. That we will be matured and we will know individually the will of God for us. And the main will of God for us is our sanctification. Do you know that? It means it begins at salvation and it ends when we cry, that he's out to keep perfecting us. To take us from strength to strength, the scripture says. From grace to grace. From glory to glory. Because if you don't do this, you're going to go back. You're going to not be a baby Christian for 10 and 20 years. You're a backslider. Or you got the false gospel. God has no retarded children. You refuse to drink the milk, or you're not hungry enough to seek God. No, I don't believe people are baby Christians. And people say, well, I was a Christian and I really didn't do much until I was filled with the Holy Ghost. You weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. You were saved. For 20 years, you didn't serve God. You were worldly, carnal, and just had a profession. I tell them like it is. And being filled with the Spirit is just the beginning. You're going to go on to the deep things of God. See, this is what sanctification is. I don't mind disturbing people. Well, I was saved when I was 5 years old, but I didn't really get serious until I was 23. I said, then you were lost until you were 23. You were lied to. Now look at you. You bore no fruit unto perfection. You had false Christianity. You got saved at 5 and lost it at 6. Take your choice. You didn't bear no fruit. The proof, you didn't have the real thing. And you know what you were talking about. One more scripture, and then we can get through it. Daniel. You thought I was going to give you something closer, didn't you? Daniel. That's the hard one to find. After Ezekiel. So that's one of the biggest books. So once you can find out where Ezekiel is, everything's to the left or right. It's easy to find. That's how I learned. Okay. Daniel 12. We're living in the last days. We're living in the latter part of the last days. That's why it's getting darker. And yet Christians have nothing to fear. We're not looking at numbers. We're looking at quality. But notice what he says. Daniel 12. He's talking about the last days. Many shall be purified and made white and refined. What is this? This is the word burning. What does the word do? It purifies. The Holy Spirit is the Word. He is the refiner. He said, sanctify them by my Word. See, that's what he's going to do to his own. He's going to purify them and lead them on. But notice the second part. And none of the wicked shall understand. None of them. But the wicked, but the righteous or the wise shall understand. You will get no spiritual understanding and enlightenment unless you are wise and follow the Lord. If you're wicked, he says what? Your lamp will be put out. Your heart will be hardened, and you will be led astray. John closes in saying, let him that is righteous be righteous still, and let him that is unholy be unholy still. He means when the Lord comes, there's no time to get right. And he will judge accordingly to where they're at. Okay? Let's close there.